Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
And if you just retuned, this is a test transmission.
It opens a new and, I think, exciting chapter in the story of radio.
This is going to be a service to provide a tremendous amount of information and satisfy a lot of different interests.
I was always itching to shake it during a program.
In the air, on the river, and underground.
We hope very much that Derek can hear us. Can you hear us?
From Resonance 104.4 FM and social broadcasts, this is the Transmitter Radio Hour from XMTR.fm, a space dedicated to sonic storytelling, original sounds, new voices, and archive treasures from radio broadcasts, podcasts, and sound art across the globe. I'm Lucia Scazzocchio, and I'll be scanning the digital soundscape to cut through the noise. This time I'm doing a little bit of trumpet blowing because the next hour is dedicated to a series I co-produced called Lowlines, a podcast series following food entrepreneur Petra Barron as she travels solo through the Americas, meeting people with profound connections to the places they're from. Petra conceived of the series after feeling flattened and stressed out by the grind of the business hustle in London. So she bought a Tascam audio recorder and set off with no real agenda and an open mind and a willingness to talk to strangers. She brought back 70 or so hours of raw tape, which myself and Lena Presswood from Scenery Studios shaped into a six-part journey, uncovering what it means to truly connect a place. The musical score was entirely composed of fragments, played by cellist Hannah Marshall, produced through improvised sessions as she played along to the rough edits of each episode. Over six episodes, from Arizona to the Amazon rainforest, Petra meets remarkable people for whom place is everything, enriching our understanding of identity and what it means to feel rooted. So I'll be playing the prologue from the series, starting the journey in London, and then an extract from the first episode where Petra begins her travels in New Orleans, and more specifically, right in the heart of one of the roving block parties there called the Second Lines. We'll then join Petra as she takes the Sunset Limited westbound, a slow Amtrak train traveling from New Orleans to Arizona. We follow the low lines of the train tracks, letting the hiss, groan, and gentle gyrations of the 36-hour journey cradle us. She talks off-grid living, denture cream woes, magic mushrooms, and marrying the same man three times, with a raft of fellow travellers, all whilst trying to get a decent bite to eat and a bit of shut-eye. But the story begins in London.
Where are you right now? If I asked you to recall the details of the ground you just walked on, the way it felt beneath your feet, the smell, the sounds, the faces of the people you passed, could you do it? It's possible you're drawing a blank, and if that's the case, you've come to the right place. My name is Petra Barron, and I am by nature a traveller.
Get a van, paint it, and then drive around Britain. What do you reckon?
Cool.
And by trade, a pavement pounder, a gatherer of people and food on the curbs of London.
How's that ice cream working out for you?
I began as a food truck owner, selling chocolate on the streets.
It's good. It's one of the better chocolate ice creams.
It was my vehicle to connect with the people and places around me.
Well, the truth is, I've had a really good day.
You're a moment man, aren't you?
Yeah.
My business went from me to me and my trader mates.
Tony, I'm going to be here for a while. I quite like Morecambe.
To a collective of food truck owners.
You really excelled yourself, Paul. It's delicious.
And then it blew up into a movement.
Now the streets of Britain are becoming filled with gourmet trucks selling food from all over the world.
Everywhere you look is queues. I don't even know what I'm queuing for.
And a whole multi-pronged beast of a food organisation.
We are looking at this year feeding 1.5 million Londoners across our markets.
But as my business took off, the energy and genuine, spontaneous human connection that I thrived on started to fade away. It gave way to more and more meetings in glass buildings with businessmen in blue shirts, big developers who loved the life we brought to seemingly lifeless sites in need of a human touch. We were the animating spark that they needed to activate their real estate. But the slick development so many go on to become, they photograph well, stylish cathedrals to commerce that they are. But walking through them, there's often little sense of the history, the industry, the guts, the freewheelers that provided the heartbeat in the first place. And that's where I found myself a couple of years ago, standing rooted on the spot in an open-air shopping centre in London's King's Cross that somehow I had played a part in creating, wondering, how the hell did I get here? And more to the point, how did we get here? So many of us in just another city designed to make our bodies move through space as quickly and as frictionlessly as possible, to get us to our next item on the day's many agendas. We ping, we glide, we're carried and conveyed through transport systems and buildings with maximum efficiency. Networks of concrete, steel and microchips, touching in and out without touching anything. Our eyes looking down, making contact only with our screens. Our feet on autopilot, barely feel the ground, whilst our heads, well, they're somewhere else, churning and maxing out in a different way. Distracted and digital, existing in a simulacrum of the real world, semi-connecting in just 1 minute with more people than our ancestors would have met in a lifetime. Preoccupied with who we are, who we could be, productivity, and how fast we can get to the next thing or solve the next problem. At that point, standing in King's Cross, head spinning, chest tight, none of it felt tethered to anything real anymore. I needed to get lower, to move down from my head and plant my feet back on the ground. So I stepped away from the business, packed up my stuff, bought a recorder,
hello, is this recording?
And decided to let myself be pulled deep into magnetic places and meet those whose lives are shaped by them. And that's what this podcast is. It's a sonic scrapbook of my travels.
Shut off the motor, it's rowing with a broom.
And an invitation to tune into the pulse of place.
You have to put your hands into the soil of a place and get that on you. It's kind of like the earth has to kind of eat you.
I refuse to drive. And when I walk, I get everywhere right when I'm supposed to get there. My days flow.
There's a lot of fantasy that comes here.
I have just been right now.
It's a passport to Rome.
I'm looking for a desert woman.
Desert woman?
Yeah.
It's humbling, massive, and beautiful, and dangerous.
But it's just otherworldly.
You think?
And a celebration of the magic of strangers.
Yeah.
Where are you off to?
I'm going. That's it, baby.
Just had the time of my life.
We marry again for that third.
Oh my God. It's not always comfortable, and I don't always like myself.
All my workers, they all gone, they quit.
I don't even use that workshop.
Because?
I miss you.
Oh. You never really think stuff like this is going to be as emotional as it is.
Starting with New Orleans.
It's a hell of a culture, I tell you.
My body literally is designed to live among these cypresses.
On to South Louisiana.
They say this is the end of the world because you can only go so far, and then it's just water.
When my mom passes, I am leaving.
A across to the Arizona desert.
The dogs ran toward him and he just stood stock still.
And I said, Tango Glock. Like, I have a Glock.
I mean, I was scared. And he's crying. His legs were just ripped from the desert.
Down to Mexico City.
It's impossible to think about all the civilization that happened around here without this food. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. Mexico City, England, when you arrive here, you refer to this as yours.
And even deeper, down to the Peruvian jungle.
People come thinking that they're just going through a car wash and that they're going to be polished. And then on the other side of that, it's like, great, you're clean, and in 10 feet, a bird's gonna shit on you.
Oh my God, it was brilliant.
No planning.
I just went all the way to the back of the store and there was a door.
No agenda.
What about if we sit in your truck?
Okay.
And no damn Instagram.
Now this is my dog's blood.
Oh, Samantha.
Yeah, well, she was an accident waiting to happen.
Just me following and sharing threads that are lower and closer to the ground.
People are so hustle and bustle now, they're forgetting actually how it used to be.
People are so far removed from being in relationship with the land that they call, quote unquote, home.
The geography of a place has a personality that gets into your brain.
People are strong and in their power when they're connected to place.
I call them lowlines. Follow Lowlines now, wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. When I think of tuning into the pulse of a place, I always think of New Orleans. It's the most human city I know. And over the years, it's drawn me back again and again and again. This is the place where I feel released from my head and more fully in my body. And for me, the second line is the pulse of New Orleans. The source and energy of what gives the whole city that unmistakable feeling. The second line, it's a rolling block party. It's a neighbourhood parade. It's an incredible expression of New Orleanian blackness dancing through the streets every Sunday with a freedom and a charge courses right through everything in its path.
Just do whatever you want. Like the record says, do what you want, do whatever you want.
It's something that makes all people come together, no matter if you're on good or bad terms, just have fun on these days. And then it's great exercise too.
Today I'm back at the second line, pounding along the streets to the Truth Brass Band, getting hot and sweaty and charged. I'm feeling that feeling with everyone dancing and messing up this below sea level streets. Some people talk about how the air is thicker here and the light's got currents in it and the ground's bouncy. It is kind of bouncy. You can feel it. And that sweet, humid smell reminding you of what this place is in its bones.
This swampland. It's hard to think of a city less like London, with its hard lines and its controlled edges, increasingly designed to be moved through with speed and efficiency. Other people just objects to get around, try not to touch.
It's a hell of a culture, I tell you. You got to just get out in for yourself. I mean, I can't explain, you know, because there's all types of stuff going on.
Second lines are the opposite of frictionless. There's friction everywhere. It's in all your senses, in the best way possible. And it's just on you. And its currents are powerful. Currents of energy, of the past, of this life, and a compounding of music and connections between people. There's currency, and it's not money currency. It's about people. Bending the city into a new kind of shape through that footwork.
You don't have to practice, just come out here and feel the vibe. If you feel the vibe, you're gonna kick a beat. You're gonna move a beat, gonna move your feet, whatever, you heard?
Hitting those streets every week. The way the feet connect to the street in so many intricate ways. Everyone dancing, second line style. It's inimitable.
You gotta have footwork. If you ain't got footwork, you ain't moved. That's why you gotta have the footwork. But get your beat of the music in one tune, and that's what you move.
Stamping out those patterns on the pavement. If it wasn't so swampy, I swear there'd be sparks flying.
Footwork is just moving your feet to the beat. Fast, slow, keeping up with the tempo. Just moving.
Get it ready. When you got the footwork, you just do what you want.
There's an incredible dancer at the second line, Jared DeGroy, whose footwork is mesmerising and who I know is really tuned into her roots here. I feel like having a conversation with her could provide some real insight, not just on the magnetism and the pull of New Orleans, but also the way we relate to a place when we are truly of it and part of it. This is a sonic scrapbook, a passport to Rome, following a pull to tune into the pulse of place, to get closer to the ground, befriending strangers along the way. I'm Petra Barron, and this is Lowlines. Episode 3, Train Line, Slow Train to Tucson. It's May the 9th, evening, and I've just spent the last couple of days crossing the country on an Amtrak from New Orleans to Tucson. I didn't want to fly, it's just too quick. I wanted to just sit and watch this landscape change and talk to people. We've got swamps for miles, like tangled, mangled up in this big, thick mess. Everything's so green. It's pretty dense. Lots of really young trees, a few older ones. There's a lot of undergrowth, and we're just slowly carving through it along the tracks. The slow train running west from New Orleans to LA is called the Sunset Limited. Such a romantic name. The classic
Amtrak long train journey. 36 hours of cruising along, so slowly at times. Sort of felt like a meditation, kind of.
It's a bit of a disaster. I haven't bought myself any food. I mean, what was I thinking? I've basically got to rely on dining car food for the next few days. I've got a banana and I've got some chocolate that's pretty bloomed from being in the heat.
Getting hungry. Not sure how long I'm going to last on the food options on board.
How are you doing?
What do you think is the best thing to eat?
Oh, I don't eat this food, I bring my own.
I wish I'd brought my own. This is the choice until Tucson. Okay, so why don't I have the mac and cheese skillet and there's no salads or anything.
No, ma'am. Where are you from?
I'm from England.
Okay, so how long are you gonna be on this side?
So I've been here for a while. I'm getting off at Tucson, but that's
a long ride too.
That's a long,
so
slow
long
ride.
Be there?
A few days. I want to go into the desert.
Arizona desert?
Yeah. I don't know how long I'll last.
Oh, I don't do camp. No, ma'am. I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd be so nervous.
You don't think you would be quite powerful?
I'm not going to even try. My friend trying to get me to go hiking. I said, have you lost your mind? I don't do hiking.
Have you tried it?
No.
You might love it.
No, ma'am.
You don't think it's worth trying it?
Uh-uh.
What, do you just don't like the creepy crawlies?
No, I'm not doing it.
I started to get acquainted with the train, feeling it out as I walked back to my seat with my $2.50 dining car water, through the carriage full of Mexican travellers, passing around mango, Lay's potato chips. Just walked past this French family with the young children and they're all sitting around playing cards and they've got this really civilized looking picnic all sort of spread out in front of them with hummus and cherry tomatoes and wholemeal crackers. It's so wholesome. Sat in my seat, got comfy in my carriage, stared out the window. A bit hungover and ponderous. I can't stop thinking about this conversation yesterday. So it's the end of Jazz Fest, and me and Zelma and Chris are outside the jazz tent. Nora Jones doing her thing inside, a bit boring, and we're baking hot, sitting on this blanket, and we're talking about antidepressants. Chris has just got all the information. She's talking about like which antidepressants make you horny, which suck all the sexy out of you. And then Zelma's telling us about her sexual awakening in her early 20s when she goes to see Trombone Shorty on stage for the first time. And she's just throbbing with desire thereafter until she finally took herself off to lose her virginity. Like some kind of swamp dog just kind of pounding the pavements looking for release. So funny. Okay, the phone's turned off. It's in my bag. No more scrolling. I'm getting away from its claws. Right, I need to get out there.
I live in LA, so I go to Palm Springs.
I liked your chat earlier, Dwayne.
When I told the people.
You told us not to fight.
Oh, no.
Dwayne, the conductor, told me that the train can get kind of gnarly. I love Dwayne. He's talking about loads of fights, people getting asked to leave.
Is it?
I mean, on the way out, we kicked three people off, so it's that's normal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Drinking?
One was tweaking out of his mind. The other one was trying to get a free ticket. He didn't have a ticket and he was on board. The other one was drinking situation. Or was it smoking? Either or, drinking or smoking.
The church spires. A huge cemetery. Louisiana flag flapping listlessly. Pretty little blue flowers along the side of the verge. Somewhere around Lafayette, I was like, I need to get into that viewing car. It felt like the heart of the train. When you sit in the big glass bubble of the viewing carriage, it all looks so cinematic. Like, it's just us and this train carving through the landscape. It's like a conveyor belt, the natural, spliced through with the man-made, and how they all mesh together. So interesting from this fleeting viewpoint. The chat next to me gave me my ear.
This is not just touching. Even the rich, super rich, know that something devastating is coming.
The King family.
They know that.
Nice to meet you. I'm Petra.
Matt and Lee and Lenny.
Where does everyone come in the line?
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest.
He's the youngest. He's next older, and I'm older than all of
you. And then we have one in the other cart older than all of us. Yeah.
Wow.
And then there was a brother whose name I can't remember, who was asleep quite a lot of the time.
And three more left down.
And three more. Where are the other?
Matt's wife, who's deaf, so he had to mouth everything I said to her with his mask pulled down.
So this is what we have, deaf in the family. We're going to bury one of our sisters.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. She's good. She's good.
Do you have a lot of family in Los Angeles?
Yes.
So, how did you get into the missionary business?
Call of God. Go to a church where we're very mission-oriented. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I go to Haiti. I've been in Haiti for 15 years. It's a great tie between New Orleans and Haiti. Yeah.
Just taking it all in, just learning the names, warming up to them, when another King sibling, Bobby, appeared, all mystique and charisma.
Oh, bless you, baby!
This is my brother as well,
Bobby. Bobby, nice to meet you.
He's a recorder.
What kind of music do you sing, Bobby?
I sing. I just retired from the music industry. And I did a lot of sessions, you know, studio background sessions and stuff like that. So I sing with whatever artist that I'm working with, whatever style that they, whatever category of music they sing, you know, I sing that with them, you know, calling me. I've worked with Bruce for a long time.
Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah. You ever heard of Ry Cooder?
Yeah.
Ry Cooder, I worked with Ry Cooder.
Oh, wonderful.
But I've been in just about every cracking crevice on this planet.
Have you? You're all travelers.
I did a lot of traveling, yes.
Lee's traveled all over with the missionary.
And my brother, yeah, he travels with missionary. Well,
you've traveled with music.
Yes. Everywhere I go, you know, if I've never been there, I just enjoy it because, hey, it's totally different from where I'm, you know, I were. You know, and it's brand new, and you get to see a lot of things. But it runs in the family.
It's nice in this viewing car, isn't it? The gallery, what do they call this restaurant?
And Matt passed us packets of nuts and little paper napkins loaded with fruit salad, dispensed from this giant Ziploc. It was so organised. Plums and mango, cubed, little macerated. I felt like he sort of prepared it all the night before. I was really impressed.
So they call it Highland. And that's a clear expanse where the animals, they cross anyway, but then when they cut the land,
it's life. It's life. It's freedom.
What is that?
It's freedom.
The Amazon.
You know,
I live way back in the woods. I built me a cabin there about 30 years ago. And I went through a divorce 15 years ago. And my wife kept the house in the subdivision. And I went back to the land. Here you can disappear. You can disappear here.
Do you mean like go off grid?
Yeah. Yeah, you can walk grid here. You can disappear. And mountainous terrain, you can disappear.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I've lived in other places, but it's nothing like home.
Do you catch enough for the whole winter?
Yes, ma'am. I kill enough for the whole year.
Well, so you've got like deep freezers full of what?
Deer meat, a wild hog, rabbit, coon. And I make a lot of sausages.
Do you do coon?
So it don't be bulk meat.
Do you do coon sausage?
I haven't done coon sausage.
I've never tried coon sausage.
I haven't made coon sausage.
Beaumont, Texas also serve as a smoke stop electric relation to launch you so in Beaumont. So please do not leave the platform area in the train. Do it when you exit. Beaumont, Texas.
Beaumont, Texas. Everyone's getting off the smoke. Bit of a crowd of gathering, waiting to embark. Are there any good food stops?
Not here. That's the terminal right there.
But like in general?
Houston. Houston coming up.
Houston, we might get some good food.
Yeah, they might.
Okay.
Was that a lady that was getting on? Or she just...
No. She's Palm Springs. She had stuff here. She's just putting it there.
Oh, okay, she just moved.
Yeah.
Should I wait for the conductor?
Do you have to get back on?
He'll tell us.
Anybody else that have a seat? You're fine. You can stay out there if you dare.
Don't leave us behind. I'm a bit nervous.
They'll toot the horn. They're screaming all aboard. You're fine.
I'm getting in because I'm getting somewhere.
Sounds good anyway.
Beaumont. Houston was a swamp once. Another waterway drained, beaten into submission, and now it's like this mass of overpasses and strip malls and tarmac, and it's got such a good food scene. Last time I was there, God, we ate well. Chinese and Congolese and Indian, incredible Indian food for America actually. Honduran and yeah. It's really good food in Houston. Cleaning up. Oh, that was cleaning me. Oh, you were cleaning you. That was your shower. Got it. Horrific. I've never walked in on so many people on the toilet.
In one go.
10 seconds. I think sunset hit around 8 p.m. and everyone, having done their evening ablutions, started to just ease in for the night. Everything just started to mellow out and slow down.
The landscape is humbling. It's just so massive and beautiful and powerful and dangerous. Whether you're on the ocean, on the plains, in the mountains, you have to have your wits about you. You have to be thinking about it all the time. You have to be thinking about the weather all the time, which is and in grown-up Massachusetts, you do that. And you have to have that kind of quiet resilience. And it's wonderful, you know, I look up at the skies most nights and I'm 180 degrees of stars. You're truly under the sheltering skies. It's just amazing. And I like the quiet.
Yeah.
They don't care if, you know.
Do you feel like you can kind of do what you want?
I can do whatever I damn please. without offending anyone, of course, but.
And that's part of the beauty of this land, right? Is that people, yes. You feel like you have the space and the ability to do what you damn like, which is where politics can come in and kind of confuse this.
Tracked down some lovely empty seats, got myself all settled in, lovely cozy nook, started falling asleep. The train pulls into San Antonio, and this woman gets on and just sits on me. And I had to just get up, and I didn't have anywhere else to go.
I don't really know, I've just put the seat down. I'm not really sure how I'm supposed to really sleep, but we'll give it a go. I haven't really got enough warm clothes on. I have got earplugs. I have got edibles. And I have got an eye mask. And I've got a pillow. Oh my god, I've got a cushion. I just remembered. Go and get my cushion.
We're all stuck down here.
Oh. No idea how much sleep I got. I just know that around 3 a.m., my brain was just riddled with thoughts of vowing to do better and vowing to meditate, fast until I reached the desert. I was like, I'm just going to fast. I was thinking about doing my top five and getting back into the Pomodoro technique. So I writhed around in my chilly seat. I tried to meditate just to go back to sleep, but I was still so frazzled from my week of sweaty jazz fest.
Grand. Really bad food on
I just need to meditate, work out, just get active. Maybe I should do fasting for tomorrow. Chart my abstinence.
Me feel really sluggish.
All the way through Louisiana, Texas, Mexico, and Arizona. I started fantasizing about staying on the train. I was just like, LA isn't that much further on with all those clean, bright, light, energizing, adaptogenic, nootropic things that they love over there. $20 smoothies. Just sitting here in my terrible cold seat, thinking about discomfort and what Dave Chang said on a podcast the other day. I think it was Dave Chang, about how we have these expectations of our lives that they should be easy and fun, when the brutal truth of life is that it can be tough, incessant and uncomfortable, and we've convinced ourselves that we can sort of shield ourselves against all unpleasantness and pursue happiness at all costs. We're saying we've strayed so far from the hunter-gatherer that, let's face it, most of us would perish in a real disaster.
Good morning. This is Christine. And I heard this was for all the store passengers. This will be last and final call. Once again, last and final call for breakfast in the diner. All employees, please double check. All employees, please double check.
I gave up on the idea of fasting. As soon as I woke up, I just got straight down to that cafeteria. I couldn't keep away. Bumped into Lee, also on the hunt for breakfast.
I'm great. I'm ogling that fruit, but that's not for sale. That's yours, isn't it, Jackie?
Sure is.
Oh man, I was like scouring the list for some fruit or some oatmeal or something.
Oh, no oatmeal either? I forget about the oatmeal. Okay, what time is dinner?
Day two of the Sunset Limited experience really got started with Brad, though. This in-your-face dude with his teeth out, roaming around looking for denture cream so he could talk straight. He clocked my British accent immediately. I could barely understand what he was saying through his puckered mouth.
A-L-O-A-L-O.
Oh, allo, allo.
Yeah.
I love the way you say it.
Allo, allo. I don't know on Twitter. You know what the show is, right?
Yeah, from the 80s.
You know what the thing is? I thought I'd kill him for World War II. People were fine. He knew the Queen of England. She fixed his teeth.
Excuse me, hang on, what? The Queen of England fixed his teeth?
His teeth. I need my teeth. I like that. That's like a spoonerism, right? The Queen of England fixed his teeth.
Where are you headed?
Well, I'm from LA. Where are you at?
Tucson.
Oh, yeah? What are you doing there?
Going into the desert.
And doing what?
Checking it out. What are you going to LA for?
Well, I was going to do production. I was working on Wounded Warriors Clergy. And I was all kinds of different. Shut the radio off.
Oh, sorry. He made me turn the recorder off. He told me that the rule is that you have these kind of conversations away from everyone else in an open field. And I was all up for it. But then he got a right cob on when I dared to chat to Connor and Meredith on the other table. It's just stormed off. Later we found out he'd been put off the train by Dwayne the conductor.
I've had to sit next to him for the last 1,000 miles.
Are you coming from New Orleans?
I was coming from St. Louis.
Oh my God.
Oh, you came down from St. Louis to New Orleans?
No, not to New Orleans. We changed trains.
At San Antonio.
We started out on a different train than we did.
Hi, how are you doing? Morning.
I took the Amtrak and it took me from Denver up to Illinois, down to Houston. So it was a big V. Like almost an M.
I feel like they're going everywhere but west. I just want to go due west. Our desert isn't as green as this.
Yeah, I think we get more water.
Yes,
probably.
Definitely. It's a lower elevation where we are right now.
Did you sleep much last night?
Yeah, I had 7 hours.
Oh my God, have you got a cabin?
No. I'm used to sleeping wherever.
Where are you headed?
Alaska.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but I'll take a train to Los Angeles and then take another train to Seattle. So it's 3 days on the train.
So from LA to Seattle is what, another day and a half or something?
Yeah. I'm not going to have a shower for about 4 days.
Fair enough, as long as you've got some wet wipes.
Yeah.
No.
No, I don't.
I know someone that does.
I'll make do.
So can you tell me about this landscape around here?
Sure. I'll tell you what little I know. There's so much to know, it looks like it repeats itself. Like all the plants and everything. But what you're not seeing is a lot of the small mammals. Whenever you live out here, everything moves much, much slower. And you have to make time for things. Whenever I go to the city, it feels like we're operating at like a machine scale. Everything's so quick.
Yeah.
You know? It feels sometimes like there's so many people that it has to be scaled that quickly, you know? So I do get that. But whenever you're out here, there's less people, more space. Everything just feels bigger and more open. What people really need in their lives is space to think and almost like meditative, like whatever animals have, you know, that kind of like non-anxious kind of openness.
Yeah. And your senses all alert, you know, in a way of
really knowing where you are and how to read where you are with more than just your logic.
I did mushrooms out here, and I was in the mountains, and I had been living in the basin of these mountains for 2 years, and a friend of mine, we had never hiked together, she pulls out this bag of mushrooms, and I thought, well, this is time, it's time for me to do these. And so I take them, and they kick in, and I'm feeling very good. You know, normally on a hike, I feel like I'm sweating a lot, I'm not wheezing, but I, you know, I have to control my breath, and I feel my joints, usually, I can kind of feel like tension in them, and I have to kind of stretch them out. I didn't feel any of that. I felt so strong and so powerful and so confident, and I asked myself why I felt so confident, and I had realized it was because I had almost synchronized with the land. Like, I knew all the animals there, I knew where I was going, what I was doing, I just knew the land. It's much harder to do that in a city, although people can do it, you know. I've seen people who really thrive in cities and they know everything about the city. And they had that same kind of intelligence, you know. And I realized that I had completely adapted to an environment that I didn't grow up in. And so it was like a real education in that moment, you know, like a reflection. And I felt even more confident from that. And I haven't felt that way since. I kind of can retain that.
I think we get a stop in El Paso. Where there's some good food.
No, we're at Fort Bliss now, I think. No.
I think El Paso's got some food for us.
As everyone was spilling off to smoke and stretch our legs, I spotted the woman who ousted me from my cozy nook in the night and realized how small she was, much smaller than it felt. I walked over and we soon made friends.
My story or my life or whatever, it was okay, but it was very trouble. It's a long story, you know. I always was, how can I explain myself? Despreciada, despite from my mother and my older sister. And whatever it happened, it was my fault. It always see me like a maid. And I used to do everything for them, to make them please. And it was hard. And at that time, I was 15 years old.
Then we carried on through Valentine and past the random Prada store outside Marfa, burrowing towards Van Horn, through the desert, mesquite, cottonwood trees, tufts of desert stuff and rabbits and deer out there somewhere, and piles of landscape that looked like digestive biscuit crumbs.
Daughter was born, and we get married again, you know, with my husband.
You remarried him?
Him again.
So hang on a minute. You were married to your husband, you had a baby, you were embarazada, pregnant, but you divorced him. But then you married him again?
Again.
Wow.
And we tried, and it was again. He used to drink a lot. And he got to the point that it was awful for the children, not. And I took care before he died. I took care of him, and we marry again for that third
time. Oh my God! Oh my God! And you just fell in. You kept on falling in love with each other. You had a soft spot for each other.
Baby. Yeah. Wow. And the children too. And he paid me all what he fought before.
Gave you it all back. Wow.
Yeah.
What a story. We're here.
Yeah.
We can go and stretch our legs. Do you want to come and get a burrito?
Yeah, sure.
That line for the burritos is going to be real long.
Oh, that is a really
Through the train window, bunched up in the corridor, could all see a Mexican woman with a suitcase full of ready rolls standing on the platform, dishing out glorious looking bean and cheese or bean and brisket burritos, $3 each.
Okay, we're moving. Okay, it's not happening.
What's up, Lee?
Look, I can see someone with a burrito in his hand.
You might have found it in vain because by the time we get off of here, it'll be time to roll.
No, he over there.
Why are we get out of here? Well, how do you get out of
I love it.
What's that?
Your voice.
Finally, we were released. We spilled off the train, quickly formed a queue in front of the burrito lady, and then did our best to ignore our rapidly diminishing window of time off board. It was quite stressful.
Had a good start in a while, so.
The burrito woman absolutely cleaned up. How many burritos do you think she sold?
An Argentine guy from Atlanta came along, probably in his 20s, joined the conversation as we did the maths.
No, no, 20 people, so
more than 20, don't you think?
3 per person, 100.
God bless you, have a safe trip.
We have the same question.
How many burritos did you just sell?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't count them.
So
where are you from?
England.
And I'm from Argentina.
And Louisiana.
Okay. Because you're acting.
Yeah, I've been thinking about your name. That means good, powerful name. That's powerful.
How many burritos?
I just need one. I want one.
I have a brisket and bean and I have a...
Those El Paso burritos saved us. Neat stacks of white, sweaty, cigar-style border burritos trussed up in her suitcase on wheels.
Thank you for looking after us.
A real meal, made and sold by the same human hand. You just can never beat that. I went one brisket, two bean, and headed back to my seat to savour them slowly. A smear of frijoles, a spread of brisket, flaccid twiglets, really. But they were my twiglets, made all the tastier for having had to leave the train and go track them down, away from the tyranny of Jackie's onboard cafeteria. Texas, west of El Paso. Tufts of little scratchy bushes, tumbleweeds in the making, they look like low fences, just scratchiness everywhere. It's a lot of very low clouds. It began to get a lot more orange and baked around Las Cruces. All the greens turning darker, less vehement. And then the landscape got even more dramatic. The Sonora Desert splaying out to the left, as far as the eye could see. The New Mexico all up to the right. And then I missed seeing the wall. The wall. I was too busy journaling on the wrong side. God, what a moment to miss. That great controversial wall that we've all heard about. Apparently, the whole carriage was up on its feet, craning to the south to look at it. Lee said everyone in the carriage went silent, awestruck at this bleak intervention.
Some cars smell of fags, and some cars smell of old booze, and some cars smell like
no one's left them for 30 hours.
After you've been on the train for a day and a half, you see more and more people walking up and down the train, just trying to get exercise. A few wobblers as the train gyrates. Man, the smokers were starting to climb the stainless steel walls by the exit, yearning to be released to smoke. Been hours since El Paso. Some of them were pranging out. One guy looked like Bob from Twin Peaks, lumbering around, wheezing, looking so distressed. I tried to make a joke out of it, but he wasn't laughing. And then, as we started getting closer to Tucson, the viewing car was alive with music as Bobby King brought Rai Cuda in to join the party.
I'm loving the music, by the way.
We're in the middle of a show. Do you want to be part of it?
You're making a show?
I'm getting off the show.
Oh, you're in a show?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a Bobby King concert and brothers.
I would love to be a part of it, but we're getting ready to get off the train.
Me too.
But this is amazing.
Me
yeah,
too.
I like this.
It's worth it. These guys have all sung their lives.
Is Is that you?
These are the pipes. These are the pipes of this gentleman and this gentleman.
Because I grew up with like Muddy Waters, B.B. King, John Lee Hooker, all those guys, man. You got it. Joe Withers.
Look him up.
Yeah, can I take a picture of that real quick so I know who you guys are? I love that. I love that. And you guys are playing when? Oh, you're not playing?
I'm going to get my gear. It was so nice to meet you.
Oh, really?
I'm going to say goodbye to you just in case I don't manage to come back.
Can't wait to be able to sing live.
Can't wait to do it.
Yeah, good luck with everything in
Thank
LA.
You. Thank you.
Take care. Bye, lovely to meet you. Take care.
You're really disappointing.
Why?
You didn't get either one of these guys to sing.
I know. I didn't want to make them feel uncomfortable. And you were a bit shy. You were like, you don't feel like you're at your best. You don't think it's going to sound that good.
I don't even, don't even use that word.
Because?
Because I'm nowhere near that.
So where's the singing then?
In my throat, baby. And then they're ready.
Good luck. Bye.
Nice to yeah, I just love yeah. talking to you this
Good
morning.
Luck getting to Alaska. This guy, Connor, is on his way to Alaska. Where are you getting up? Are you getting up in LA? Yeah. You're having a great time, aren't you?
Of course I am.
Are you all together?
Of course. She's part of the team now.
Okay, fine. You're accumulating friends.
Yeah. Where are you off to?
I'm going. I'm getting my stuff ready.
Where are you headed?
Tucson.
Tucson?
Yeah.
I'll miss you.
Oh. Bye. What kind of book are you on?
Deep Betty.
What?
You want some? You want a shot?
No, I'm all right. I'm all right, thanks. Smells amazing, though. Enjoy yourself.
Okay.
Bye.
And that is how I arrived here in Tucson, Arizona. Big thanks to everyone on the Sunset Limited who was happy to have me record our conversations. To Maria Luisa, Meredith, Connor, Brad, Jackie in the cafeteria, Dwayne the conductor, the burrito lady who saved my life, and to the wonderful King brothers, Matt, Lenny, Bobby and Lee, on their way to Los Angeles to send their sister home.
So you just heard the prologue, an extract from episode 1, and the whole of episode 3 of Low Lines. And if you want to hear more and follow Petra as she travels to Plaquemines Parish in Louisiana, looks for a desert woman in Arizona, drifts along the floating allotments in Xochimilco in Mexico City, and throws herself feet first into a plant medicine retreat in the Peruvian Amazon, You can tune in to the whole series on any podcast platform. Just search for Low Lines or just head to low-lines.com. That's it from me. For more radio podcasts and sound art discoveries, head to xmtr.fm, a curated sonic storytelling platform made for independent makers, shakers and craftspeople. I'll be back with more audio discoveries in June. In the meantime, happy listening.